Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome to ModPath Chat, the official podcast of Modern Pathology, featuring interviews with authors and experts on the latest science, technology, and developments in the field of pathology. Your host, Dr. George Netto, is the editor-in-chief of Modern Pathology and the chair of pathology at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. Here's Dr. Netto.
Welcome to today's episode of ModPath Chat. Joining me today is Dr. Ann Mills. Dr. Mills is an associate professor of pathology at the University of Virginia, a rising star in GYN pathology by all means. Her translational research focuses on predictive biomarkers of immune therapy response, specifically in gynecologic cancer. And she's going to talk to us about this topic. And specifically, she's here today to discuss her recent article in Modern Pathology about MHC class 1 role in endometrial cancers and potential evasion of immune response. Thank you, Anne, for accepting my invitation.
I'm delighted to be here, Dr. Netto. Thank you so much for having me.
It's wonderful. I'm sure this will be one of, we've had so many good podcasts, and this definitely will be one of them. So let's start, as we usually do, talking about the background of what led you to do the study, the rationale, and will be good for our audience, including myself, to teach us a little bit about MHC role and how you came about doing the study.
Absolutely. So I think to start, I'll go before I started looking into MHC class one and really getting into the backstory of why I started to investigate immunotherapeutic biomarkers, specifically in MMR deficient or mismatch repair deficient cancers to begin with. I started looking at MMR deficient cancers in residency with a specific focus on Lynch syndrome. But as immune checkpoint inhibitors gained traction, I really became interested in the therapeutic significance of MMR deficiency in this tumor type. And that was interesting to me because endometrial cancers are typically treated with surgery and a subset with chemotherapy. But in the setting of recurrence, often they can be quite resistant to the existing therapeutic approaches. So immunotherapy is a great option for some of these tumors. And initially, our investigations focused, as much of the immunotherapy literature has, on PD-L1. Our group and Brooke Howitt, who was formerly at Brigham, now at Stanford, we all showed that if you look at MMR-deficient cancers, they have really enhanced expression of PD-L1 compared to MMR-intact tumors. And that really makes good biologic sense. These are hypermutated cancers. They have up to 100 or so mutations per megabase. And all those mutations cause neoantigens, and those neoantigens elicit an immune response. Now, unfortunately, the tumors are smart, and they can then evade that immune response by expressing checkpoints, immunosuppressive checkpoints, like PD-L1, and basically cloak themselves to immune attack. So, in turn, these cancers can be quite vulnerable to drugs that then block those immunosuppressive checkpoints. And that was really underscored specifically in the setting of mismatch repair deficiency by the 2017 Science article that Lee and colleagues published, which showed that any solid tumor with MMR deficiency is potentially a great candidate for immunotherapy targeting the PD-1, PD-L1 axis. So this was really exciting. I think a lot of us were getting requests for MMR testing in a wide variety of tumor types. But the problem was not all of these cancers were responding. It wasn't working wonders for every patient, even in the setting of MMR deficiency. A lot of people focused on limitations potentially related to our assays. Had we chosen the right assay? Even with PD-L1 staining, there are a lot of quibbles about whether the clone is correct. But I wondered if maybe we needed to look deeper at the complexity of the immune milieu to see if there might be other reasons tumors were successfully evading these immunotherapeutic approaches, even when biomarkers like PD-L1 and mismatch repair status told us they would be great candidates. And so that's kind of the long-winded backstory. So I worked with one of my colleagues, Tim Bullock, on this, and he's an immunologist here at UVA. He's a PhD, brilliant guy. And we started looking at other targetable checkpoints, things like TIM-1, LAG-3, and over the years have shown that they're also overexpressed in MMR-deficient cancers. But Dr. Bullock kept telling me, none of this matters if you don't have MHC class 1. So that's the long roundabout way that I started to learn about MHC class 1.
Wonderful. It's a great story.
Yeah, it really was quite a winding path. And Dr. Bullock had sort of had MHC class 1 on my radar for a while, but it really came to the surface for me as we started to see the somewhat disappointing data emerge, not only in some endometrial cancers, but across tumor types that whatever biomarkers we were using just weren't perfectly predictive of response. And so I then had to do a little refresher for myself in tumor immunology. I didn't remember the exact function of MHC class 1, but it's really quite fascinating. It basically functions as a flagpole on which neoantigens are expressed. So a tumor will potentially express these non-self antigens on its MHC class 1 molecule, and that flags it for cytotoxic T cell attack. And MHC class 1 is ubiquitous across nucleated human cells. It's present in really everything except our anucleate cells. And its loss is abnormal. So tumors, it seems, can adaptively downregulate or lose MHC class 1 expression as a way to avoid this neoantigen display and avoid invoking the adaptive immune response.
Which brings us to this study.
Yes.
Right? So that's what you wanted basically to look at. So what was the design and what did you find?
Yeah, so we looked at in this endometrial carcinoma group, because it is so enriched relative to other solid tumors for mismatch repair deficiency. And we focused on mismatch repair deficient cancers and intact cancers. And we divided our MMR deficient cancers into hypermethylated tumors, the MLH1 hypermethylated tumors, and tumors that had attained their MMR deficiency through other mechanisms, be they germline mutations or somatic mutations in the other MMR genes. And we wanted to divide that up because data from other studies we've done has shown that the mechanism of mismatch repair deficiency might matter. For instance, our hypermethylated tumors express more TIM-3, which is another targetable checkpoint. Mm-hmm. Our MSH6 mutated tumors tend to express more PD-L1. So we wondered if maybe we would find differences there. The spoiler alert is that we didn't. In fact, we saw loss of MHC class 1 across the board. It was seen in about 40% of our tumors, slightly increased, but not really significantly increased in the setting of MMR deficiency versus MMR intact cases. And that was on par with one prior study that DeYoung and colleagues did in the early, I think 2012, that showed around 40% of cases having MMR loss. So that's a pretty big subset of tumors for which this mechanism of immunotherapeutic evasion may be relevant. So that really, drove home to us that this could be important for our patients.
So you found around 42%, right, of the cases. And can you say a word about this subclonal loss versus diffuse? Because always struggling with all these markers, I don't need to go talk about PD-L1. It's a mess. But even for the other markers, so how did you go by for...
Yeah, it is a mess. So we looked at what's been written about MHC class one before and decided to consider our cases in really three categories. Completely intact expression, which again is the normal state for human cells and sort of the default state for tumor cells unless they lose this marker. Partial expression, where you have a proportion of the tumor that shows abrupt loss. And it really is interesting. I think some of the figures in the paper illustrate, you can just get this abrupt clonal looking loss pattern, as if part of the tumor has just figured out how to get rid of this protein on its surface and the rest of it hasn't. And so we called that partial or subclonal loss. And then complete loss, which was less common, only 16% of our cases showed that. But those are tumors that throughout have lost expression. And I will add, I mean, an obvious limitation is that we did this on a single whole section. So it's always possible that the section we had was not entirely representative. We didn't stain the entire tumor reduced to glass, but we did stain whole sections, which I think is preferable to staining a tissue microarray because you may lose some, partial loss in that setting.
That's great. So, and a point about TMA for our audience, it's helpful for initial observation, but really the heterogeneity, especially if you're looking at tumor microenvironment, it becomes really an issue in this. So I congratulate you on your study. Now, so where we go from here? What's future direction? One thing comes to mind for me is you apply it down to the molecular subclassification that you have now in endometrial. Does it matter in one versus the other? So
that's a great point. Yeah, absolutely. So, we haven't looked, for instance, at poly mutated cancers specifically. My hope is that they will go on to get FDA approval for MMR, for the same kind of treatments we can give to MMR deficient cancers, because the biology is really the same, if not enhanced. So we don't have poly status on our cancers. So that's a real shortcoming. But my hope is that this may be relevant for those tumors as well. Another shortcoming that I hope becomes an asset soon, because we're working on it, is the fact that we don't have any cancers in this data set that have received immunotherapeutic treatment. Oh, we don't have follow-up data. But we're starting to assemble a cohort, and we're now applying this marker to the women we know who have been treated with anti-PD-1 therapy to see how they did and to see if MHC class 1 status was predictive of their response. And then another really cool future direction is that MHC class 1 loss may render a tumor fairly invulnerable to adaptive immunity, but it actually enhances its vulnerability to innate immunity, because lacking MHC class 1 makes a cell inherently non-human looking. And so it gets automatically registered by the body as foreign and provokes an innate immune attack. Unfortunately, innate immunity doesn't seem to be all that powerful at fighting well-established tumors on its own. But there's a growing interest in the immunotherapy world about strategies to enhance the innate immune system. And this gets at some of these sort of immunologically cold tumors, we call them, that don't have a good lymphocytic response, but that perhaps might be good candidates for, say, NK cell-directed therapy. So that's a really exciting direction that I'd love to follow as this story emerges.
Sounds very exciting. A lot of future studies to do. And knowing that you lead the fellowship in your place, a lot of work for future fellows too.
Yes.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Mills. This has been very enjoyable. And it was a pleasure to have you today. And I look forward to additional publications in ModPath.
Absolute pleasure working with you, and I also look forward to working more with the journal. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Any opinions expressed in this podcast are the speaker's own and do not represent the views of Modern Pathology, Springer Nature, UAB, or USCAP. Your ModPath Chat host and scientific director is Dr. George Netto. Producers are Christina Crow, Amber Jackson, Dr. Sarah Jang, and Dr. Catherine Ketchum. Technical direction is provided by Kaminsky Productions, music by Mitch Neubauer. Thanks to the authors, reviewers, and editors of Modern Pathology for making this podcast possible.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.